Guy George is back. Haven't done a podcast in a little while, but we have some stuff to talk about.
Oh, we got some stuff to talk about, all right. We've got 3 out of 4 wins. We've got homecoming. We've got Otis blowing up. We've got, you know, Paulson blowing up. Hell, we even had Jay Gruden at the game last night. Right. I mean, a lot of stuff is popping off right now in Mason Nation.
So speaking of popping off.
Okay.
Homecoming.
Yeah.
Would have to say that I had the lowest of expectations because of the rain.
I literally thought Mother Nature had rained on our parade.
Right.
And it was physically raining, like, really hard on us. But you know what? Mason Nation showed up. The students showed up. Everyone was kind of, like, you know, embracing it. And it was kind of fun.
Right. I mean, truthfully, there was a ton of people out there. I mean, flags, grills. We had our own tent. So let's go straight to our own tailgate. Giant Killer threw a banging tailgate.
Right. We had, like, really nice food. Like, also we had the koozies.
What did we eat?
I don't even know. It was like carne asada.
I know.
We had taquitos.
We pulled up and had carne asada, pico de gallo, and white rice.
Right.
I was in heaven.
You show up to like a standard white guy's tailgate. It's like hamburger, hot dog. What do you want? And it's like we showed up here and it was like, you want some mocolotes?
Taquitos.
Like, yeah, I was like tight.
People actually like brought stuff, contributed. He made a Facebook page. By George brought nothing. We brought a 6-pack of Rolling Rock that I couldn't even bring in because it was glass.
I brought some tall boys, but either way, yeah.
And a couple bags of chips that I'm not even sure if they got opened.
We brought us, though. We
right.
brought the party. And also brought a bag of Mentos, which I pummeled.
And you know, we got to hang out with some old friends, Liam and Tony. BGs from
life.
Day one.
Yeah.
They showed up,
are...
hung out. The coolest part, you already brought up the koozies. Giant Killer not only threw a banging tailgate, we handed out at least 75 koozies. They had our logo on it. Beat GW. People
and we
were
did.
Sized.
We did
We beat GW.
Right.
Talk a little bit about the game.
So essentially, GW crushed us last time, right? Watanabe covered Otis, shut Otis down. Otis had zippy points until like the final 4 minutes. And you would think that they would stick to that same game plan. They didn't. Otis...
They actually went zone, which was blew my mind, because why are you going to leave Otis open, which we learned in the last game versus Dayton, that if you go under screens and sit back in a zone, Otis is a sniper.
Yeah, he hit 7-9 last night from deep.
GW, you know, great win.
Hold on, hold on. Great win in the sense that it was homecoming, but great win in the sense that GW's good. No, they're bad.
Right.
In fact, they're in like dead last. So.
Yeah. And our loss to them
looks
was actually
really bad
because they beat us by like 10 and it was never close. But whatever. I just want to get wins while the students are there, while the fans are there, while Mason Nation is putting on a show.
And to sort of speak to that point, though, like the fact that GW is an equality win. Hell, we just beat Dayton last night. Any other year, we'd be sitting there riding high, cracking open beer, celebrating a Dayton win. Dayton's bad.
Right.
Dayton's
I think they
really
were 5-7
bad.
And 7 in the A-10 coming into that game.
Right. And so it's like, unless you're beating St. Bonaventure or Rhode Island, there's really not a win that you could really hang your hat on and go, wow, we're doing a great job. Because, unfortunately, the A-10's, you know, not only down this year, they're just, it's flat out bad.
Right. And that's why, you know, before the season, I had high expectations and thought, man, we could really, you know, take advantage of a bad A-10. I think we may have a chance here to go on a little run. We've won 3 of 4. We should have beat Fordham.
We were up, 16, 17 points at one point? It's
right.
not to say that we played bad that game. We just let it go.
Right.
You know, let it go, let it go.
So GW, I mean, you know, it just kind of showed, like, the whole experience. Just what Mason could be.
Yep.
What Eagle Bank Arena could be.
Students really showed up. They packed the rafters on both sides.
They had big fathead faces of Otis
signs
and Grayer.
And, you know, flicking up, you know, confetti.
Suck on that.
Okay, wow. That was
but you know, so I mean it just kind of gave us life again. I mean it showed like kind of our glory years, what we should be having. I don't think we're too far away. Let's get into the Dayton win. Jonesy, did you go to the game?
I didn't. It was Valentine's Day, and I'll be the first one to say it. I botched it. All right, I made the restaurant reservations, you know, a month ago. I didn't even think about the game. Sorry.
It's fair because I think maybe 2,000 people were there.
Right.
So it wasn't like you were like.
And it's like I went to the VCU Valentine's Day from 6 years ago, the Valentine's Day Massacre. you know, sorry for using that.
So it's kind of funny because we then, you know, we were like, oh, Valentine's Day massacre, that kind of worked. And then obviously there was a school shooting yesterday, and we kind of, you know, did not pay attention to it, but kind of ignored it. And then we dropped a Mason Wins with
Valentine's Day Massacre 2.0.
And we caught some flack. So we quickly deleted that. Guys, we apologize.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about basketball here. We're not trying to make any type of social statements here. Yeah, it's not like we're pro-guns or something.
Players shoot their shot. In fact, we're on the complete opposite end of pro-guns.
But to be fair, there's a lot of similar terminology when it comes to basketball, right? You shoot things. You know, bang,
we're
bang.
We're the Patriots.
You know,
have you seen the movie The Patriot?
Right.
Because Mel Gibson goes hard.
Right.
But, you know, here we are. So we just wanted to let you know, we apologize. Dayton, let's get in it. You weren't there, but you definitely rushed home.
Oh, my God. I bumped up the reservations actually an hour. So I got home in time to see, the end of the first half. And I watched the whole second half. It was impressive. I mean, it was just a flat-out blowout. Otis was just making every shot. He was making every pass. There's not much to say, but Dayton just looked uninspired.
Before all that,
okay, sorry.
You switched up your reservation. Did you rush dinner at all? Like, were you like, okay, no, we're ready for the check, or did you get like dessert?
I didn't purposely rush, but you know, like I had a sense of urgency that she wouldn't necessarily detect. I was just kind of like,
but you weren't on your phone the whole time. Like you weren't checking the score.
No, I felt the buzzing in my pants. Like I was getting a lot of notifications, and I was like, oh my God, I need to check. But I also have to be, you know. Romantic.
Right. I mean, I moved, like, so I was like, you know, Alex, like, Chris can't be there. Let's move. Let's scratch the dinner you're going to cook for me. I'll take you out Thursday.
Okay.
So she's all in. So I was there. Not that many people were there, though. I got
Jay Gruden was there.
Jay Gruden. I actually got to meet Jay Gruden.
He's a Dayton fan, though.
His son plays for there. They actually brought in two random, like, terrible-looking white kids before they brought in Gruden. I'm like, if you know that Jay Gruden's there, maybe play his son.
Right.
I mean, he's probably, like, donating to the program, giving you time. But either way, I went up to him, and I was like, you know, I don't want to take up too much of your time. He was talking to Brad Edwards, former safety for the Washington Redskins, Super Bowl champion, baby. Brad Edwards loves By George. I'm not sure if any of you know that. And he was like, hey, come here, man. You got your Redskins hat on. Come meet Jay Gruden. So Jay Gruden's like, hey, thanks for being a fan.
You got to do it with the Jay Gruden accent, though. Like, hey, man, you know. I mean, I don't know how he says it. It's like that weird Midwest accent. But, yeah, no.
Like a fat Gump.
Yeah, essentially.
But, you know, so I got to meet him. What's really funny, though, is that our photographer, Ron Ibrahim, went up to him. We posted a picture. He was a deer in headlights. Like, oh, my God. Right. Like, he had no idea what to say. He's like, I didn't even know it was you. I was like, That's not what you say.
Let's
not say anything but that.
The only thing you say is, like, so what's the deal with Sue Cravens? Right. Like, how are you feeling about Kirk? Like, right. I kind of want to get all that insight. Obviously, you can't do that.
I did want to say, like, hey, would you like to come on one of our podcasts? But, like, I you know, we're in media row. He's trying to take a video of his son. We didn't do that.
Let me just answer that question right now. No, he's not doing that.
So we got to meet Jay Gruden. That was awesome. That was a great way to start. And then, like, the game starts, very classic Mason game, like, struggling to score early on a little bit, but Mar hits two beautiful threes, keeps us in it, and then by the time you turned it on, we were probably, like, full steam ahead.
I mean, it was like a 9-point lead, but, yeah, I mean, we pushed it to, like, 20-point lead, and it just was, again, sorry to say, but it was a massacre, like, on the court. And so it was just, I don't know. And so you start to think, like, is Mason starting to turn the corner? Are they starting to make, like, you know, and granted, it's not the elite talent that we're, you know, used to, but it's still, like, we're playing teams and we're playing pretty well. We're making our shots.
You play your schedule. Like, we can only talk about the A-10 bombing for so long.
Sure.
You got to play the teams you got to play.
Yeah.
One thing that Paulson said that I thought was really interesting was he said that was the two best defensive performances back-to-back out of Mason since his time of joining the squad. Actually, I don't think he said that, but he said he was very impressed
Fun quote.
He was very impressed
with making things up at this point.
Very impressed with how hard we played on D for back-to-back games, the hardest we played all this season, I believe, is what he said. And I think he's right. You know, we always complain we want that full court, but yesterday we had our hands in the passing lanes. We were very active.
Yeah.
We were getting steals, getting easy buckets, getting transition points. I think we dug deep and played very good defense. And you know what? I think Otis only had about 9 to 10 points in the first half and then exploded in the second half.
Right, and so, again, 7 of 9 from deep. I mean, what was the stat? Only 4 Mason players had done that in the history of Mason. you know, hit more than seven threes.
It was kind of funny in the presser, Dick Patrick, you know, old guy, he's like, sometimes they're not even questions. He just, like, makes statements and expects, like, the players to know what to say.
Everyone's always kind of like, okay.
But so he's like, you know, have you ever gone 7 for 9 before? Otis is like, I've gone 5 for 5. And Paulson, like, you know, does his normal, like, grabs him. Don't showboat, you know. And it actually was pretty funny because Otis has this he has this kind of confidence that kind of like you can't teach.
I know. Well, so after the game, like, I was kind of texting to you, and I kind of said it in jest, but I started thinking about it. I'm like, Otis NBA, like, he's not NBA, right?
He's
clearly too small, but man, is this guy, like, he's gonna make a case for being the best point guard in the A-10, and he's gonna start
maybe now and
start getting some national, you know, coverage, you know, by his senior year. This guy's gonna be silly,
right? And it's and let's get into Otis real quick, because we've been critical of, you know, him not really looking to pass first. Some of the dimes that he's dropping,
my God, he looks like a banker dropping dimes.
I mean, the video you posted of his pass to Boyd was almost like a no-look spin move pass. And then he had the pass to AJ that you were talking about
He threw it from, like, the three-point line, and it was like a missile. It looked like Kirk Cousins – sorry, no, Alex Smith. It looked like a dart. It went right across the court, and he hit his guy. Unfortunately, it was blocked. Sometimes he doesn't get his assists because some of our guys just don't make their shots, but
right. –
Hell, if this guy was on Kansas.
And guys were making their shots yesterday. We had Boyd with 10, Kyer with 14. Kalix had a bunch of rebound putbacks. Like, if we have even scoring and Otis can kind of carry the load, then watch out.
Watch out.
The one thing that kills me is that.
Hey, whoa, hold on. That's not a good.
Sorry. The one thing that really it confuses me about other teams is, how can you not press Otis? How can you not face guard him from baseline to baseline?
One team did it, and it shut him down. It's like, hello, so just study that game.
So GW's done it. Davidson's done it. VCU did it. I mean, like, that's the way to beat Mason. You're going to go under screens? I mean, the guy's going to hit. The guy took, like, a 27-foot jumper, and no one was even guarding him. It wasn't even forced shot. It was just, like, wasn't late in the shot clock. He just took a shot, was confident in it, and hit a long three. And
also, could the theme be, like, international players covering Otis, not, like, shut him down? You had Watanabe, you had, like, the guy from Davidson's, like, Vaskutin or whatever, the guy, you know, whatever.
He's kind of a baller.
Right, he's tight.
He's, like, 6'4".
So let's look ahead, though. The game coming up next Saturday is LaSalle. They're sort of another middle-of-the-pack team. You know, we always tend to play them well. I honestly don't really remember the last time that we've actually lost to them. So, you know, is it a winnable game? Yeah. I mean, again, any game is winnable in the A-10.
If Mason goes on a three-game winning streak,
I will.
I mean, there's no reason that. I mean, well, whatever. I don't want to say that. I'll be psyched if we win three games in a row.
Yeah. So, any predictions? Game prediction? Score prediction? It's up at LaSalle.
It's at LaSalle. You know, I think I always keep us in the 70s. I'm saying 78 to 72. Mason pulls out the win. It's more of a blowout, you know, throughout the game. But as we've seen, besides the Dayton game, which did we turn a corner, we've seen, like, us get big leads and give them up late in the game and kind of have to hold on. I see another game like that.
I'm just going to be the contrarian just for the sake of being a contrarian, and I'm just going to say, look, we won two. It's been nice, but it's time for us to take a loss, and we're going to lose 74 to 67. And that's going to be the end of the run, and maybe hopefully the players get inspired and so on and so forth. I think that
Fordham inspired us.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. I think they were completely blown about that loss.
They hit a next level, you know?
But what Paulson has said from the very beginning is, we're going to beat teams that we shouldn't beat, and we're going to lose to teams that we shouldn't lose to. And
it's great inspirational coaching there.
To this point, no, I think he said it, you know, he says it in the post game and stuff. He knows what he has. He knows we're young. And another thing that I found interesting, he said, because I asked him about Boyd and his contribution, because Boyd, I mean, the last couple games, he's everywhere. He's getting offensive rebounds. He's getting steals.
Boyd's been quietly putting together some very fantastic little games that statistically won't show anything, you know.
He's that spark off the bench.
Right, and I think actually in the presser that we went to after homecoming, he said, like, some of our biggest contributions came from the guy that didn't even fill up the stat sheet. I think Boyd put up like 3 points.
And
that
he said
game.
The same thing about AJ after this game. He's sure. like, you can look at his point total and determine, you know, this and that. But the guy alters shots.
Yeah.
The guy changes the way someone's going to go shoot a layup.
Right.
You know, so.
Okay, let's bring it back here, though. You say we beat LaSalle. I'm just going to say, F it, we're going to lose to LaSalle. But, you know, hopefully I'm wrong. And, yeah, that's that. I think we could both agree, though, that we've turned the corner and we're a better team in this shitty-ass league.
As long as they're not pressing us.
Right.
Or they're going underneath screens and... I don't like. Are you not watching our film? Either way, Chris, where are we at right now? I know you all have been able to hear the background noise.
We are at. I'm slightly forgetting the name of this place. It's called Craft House. Yes, I just read the. Yeah. Okay.
And we're drinking beers. Let's cheers to back-to-back Mason wins.
Yeah. Let's cheers to that, and then let's finish our beers and hope for
another
three
Mason
in a row.
Win.
Yeah.
Guys, we're out of here.
We're out.
It's been awesome to be back.
You're slurring your words now.
So. All right. Stay tuned.